Yankees have a chance to do it again tonight. They beat the Orioles at Yankee Stadium. They clinched the American League East. Before we get to Sean Cinco, the Lindor update is that he received a bone scan yesterday that said no structural damage. And we mentioned this before the break. Lindor says he could pinch hit as soon as today. The problem is he's still feeling discomfort. He was wearing a heavy heat wrap around his back today. That's according to Anthony DeComo. So, honestly, I don't think he's playing today. And I don't think the Mets may not play tomorrow on Thursday anyway because of the rain. But and I guess that could benefit the Mets. If the Mets are pushing games back because of the rain to potentially Monday, that does allow you more time for Francisco Lindor to be healthy.
Yeah,
but it's a back, bro.
This doesn't feel like a time thing.
No, I agree.
He needs some, work on it. Acupuncture, massage, whatever.
You know what I start to get worried about more so than even this series? I start to worry about David Wright syndrome. I worry about spinal stenosis. I mean, David's career was ruined with a bad back.
Right.
And so your fingers are crossed that Lindor is going to be okay for the future. He's got a lot of years left on his contract. Still in the prime of his career. Anyhow, here's a Cinco.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. All right, I'm here to give you the five positive Mets moments versus the Braves in 2024. We ain't got no time for negative analysis here, Evan. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
The date was April 11th, 2024. The Mets score over two touchdowns in a 16-4 win in Atlanta. In fact, they scored more than the Jaguars did last night. Quintana had plenty of run support that day.
Yeah, very nice. Back in April, when we still weren't sure if this team was good or not.
Yes, here we go.
Number four.
How about April 8th, 2024? Nimmo hits not one, but two home runs, leading to the Mets tying Atlanta 5-5 heading into the eighth inning.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
April 8th, 2024, DJ Stewart's eighth inning two-run bomb gives the Mets a 7-5 lead in a game they would eventually win
that
in Atlanta.
That was a great comeback. I remember doing an instant reaction Rico to that one. I was very pumped up.
Yeah, great game. Here we go.
Number two.
July 26, 2024. Kodai Senga got hurt, but that was okay.
What's it?
Because J.D. Martinez's grand slam gave the Mets a 4-2 lead in the third inning, a lead they never relinquish, and the Mets had rallied off a second straight win over the Braves that week.
That was a night where I thought, and luckily I was wrong, I thought that may have been the apex of the season. You know, Licata's tweeting, wild card race is over, the Mets are exploding, scoring a lot of runs, Senga's dominating, and then Kodai gets hurt. They do win the game, but then they lost the next two to Atlanta. Luckily, they've had great moments since then, but City was electric that night.
Yeah.
People forget.
And here, people don't forget. Here we go.
Number one.
July 25th, 2024, a warm Thursday night in Queens that went to extra innings. And a little pop fly went down the right field wall, and it was Jeff McNeil fall as the ball falls as Laureano overruns it. And the Braves look like the Mets. The Mets look like the Braves in that moment. Man. And that was the biggest positive moment of the Mets season versus the Braves, for sure. And we're going to see more of that this week. Let's go, Mets.
I made my own list.
All right. I mean, how can you top? Those are the five best ones.
No, that was great. I got my own list.
No. Top of the head.
You don't like this, do you?
No.
This is the Cinco de Peno. The five most painful moments in Mets Braves history. And I came with audio. Let's go back to number five. In 1999, they go into a three-game series in Atlanta, one game back. They get swept by the Braves, mainly because of this son of a bitch.
Down a 1-0 to Chipper. Fly ball, left center field. Hamilton back. This one gone again. A three-run homer by Chipper Jones, his fourth home run of the series. And the Braves have taken a 4-2 lead.
Evan's a loser.
Oh, man.
Next.
Number four. Let's go back to 2 years ago. 2022. All they've got to do is win a game against the Braves.
Fly ball to right field. Acuna going back. Acuna is there. He's got it! And the Braves have swept the Mets and dealt them a devastating defeat. You come at the Kings, you better not miss. They came into Atlanta, Georgia, and the Braves took them down three times. And the magic number's down to one for this ball club that now has 100 wins on the year.
You come at the King, you better not miss.
Evan's a loser.
Number three, let's go to 2001. We all remember the incredible moment Mike Piazza gave us on that Friday night, an emotional night. It was certainly more than baseball when he hit that home run against the Braves. But then the baseball happened, and they blew it on a Sunday afternoon at Shea Stadium. And that was bad enough when Brian Jordan stuck it down our throats. And then a week later, Brian Jordan did it again, hitting a game-winning grand slam against John Franco, and all we were left to do was cry.
And the lights have gone out in Georgia. The Mets are done.
Thank you.
That's a call.
Are done.
Number two! This is a big one that people don't remember. In 1998, when the Cubs and the Giants didn't want to win a wild card, the Mets lost their last five games of the year, including getting swept in Atlanta. But the one memory I have about being swept in Atlanta was when John Olerud came through with a huge RBI hit to get him within one. And then a rookie dumbass tried to go to third base against Andrew Jones with Mike Piazza on deck. Thanks, Jay Payton.
Pitch to Olerud. Line drive, base hit. The strategy did not pay off. A run is in. Runner tries for third. Thank you.
With Mike Piazza coming up.
Thank you very much. A run for the Mets, but they run into an out. What a break. We go to the bottom half of the eighth.
I thought he was going to say, what a dumbass.
Evan, you're a loser.
And finally, finally, number one. This one is still very tough to get over. They were down 3-0 to the Atlanta Braves in the NLCS. They won game four at Shea Stadium, a game that personally David Stearns told me was one of his favorite moments as a Met. Mm-hmm. He says, people forget it. This is what David told me. This is why he's a real fan. Anyone who questions his fandom, shut up, all right? He is. And he told me that Olerud game what he get against John Rocker meant a lot to him. The next night, Robin Ventura grand slam single. And then you have game six. Where the Mets are dead and buried, they come back, they take the lead. John Franco blows a lead. Armando Benitez blows a lead. And then finally, Kenny Rogers wouldn't throw a strike to Andrew Jones.
The 3-2 pitch. Bring on the Yankees.
And I'm going to tell you right now, Bring on the Yankees still lives in my soul deep and dark. And I got to tell Bob Costas that a couple of years ago. I said, that call, I hate you, I hate you, and I hate you. Mm. Bring on the Yankees. And by the way, bring them on. Yeah, that worked out well for them.
Yeah, we finished them off for you.
You're a loser.
Loser.
I'm a loser.
Think about what you just did.
What I do.
Sean is trying to get people hyped over here.
Yeah. The big hater list over here, right?
Positive Tommy's on the other side of the glass. All he's thinking about is win, win, win. No matter what, right? As the song would tell us. And you're over here drawing on negativity.
I'm a loser.
Bringing up bad memories, making people feel depressed as they're thinking about this Atlanta Braves series that's so critical to the finishing of the story of this Mets season. Why are you bringing up old bad stuff?
I'm a baby.
It's a loser attitude.
You know what? You know why?
Why?
Because the only way to exercise demons.
No, it's not. The only way to exercise demons is to forget the demons exist. No.
I am weak. You can't forget the demons.
They don't exist.
Carlos Mendoza managed none of those five games. Luis Severino started in none of those five games. And last I checked, when they take the field tonight at Truist Park, there's only one guy with the last name Acuna taking the field, and he plays for the Mets.
And by the way, Francisco Alvarez wasn't alive for three of those games. I think that to avoid repeating the past, you got to know about it. And you got to know exactly what we're going through. And so, Tiki, I respect that you think I'm a loser, but I think you learned a lot with those clips. I think you learned a lot about my pain and whether he tries to hide it under a facade or not, Tommy's pain. Because those moments are painful, and we need to overcome it. And the way to overcome it is by winning this series.
Yes.
Because if I made a list of the greatest moments against the Braves, it's not a long one. Right. I could come up with a few, but it's not a long one.
But if I'm listening to the last 8 minutes of this radio program, I'm saying, dude, Mets are done.
Yeah. And not a long one. I gave you five this year alone.
They suck. Mets have no chance.
I'm not saying we have no chance. I'm saying these are the demons we need to exercise. Thank you, Sean, though. I appreciate the positivity.
Let's go, Mets.
Yeah, let's go, Mets, man. The first game of what could be just a one-game series. Because of how bad the weather looks. And MLB has said nothing about this. Mm. The forecast for tomorrow is brutal. The forecast for Thursday is worse.
Do they usually comment on these things? Will they usually pre-make decisions?
I think when there's hurricanes involved and you're at the latter part of the season, yeah, we've seen Major League Baseball try to be proactive.
Right.
I think they really don't know what to do. And unfortunately, because they weren't proactive enough by either scheduling a doubleheader today or playing a game yesterday on Monday, they don't really have a lot of options. I continue to suggest the neutral site, that maybe they should find one for Thursday or tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too quick, but definitely Thursday to get these games in. Because right now, if they can't play Wednesday and Thursday, you may be staring at a doubleheader after the season is over on Monday afternoon, by somebody going out west for a wild card series.
Which is a gross disadvantage for whoever that team is.
No doubt about it. Let's get to some of your phone calls. 888-808-1019. EJ's on Long Island. How are you, EJ?
Yes, I'm a little more positive than you are. Maybe not as positive as positive Tommy, but I'm way more positive than you are.
Go ahead.
You got to pick your favorite cheese and have it with this wine. It's got to end. I mean, come on. By the way, Sean, I did a pork shoulder into pulled pork, which I'm just about to dive into.
Sean is
another person I have a problem with, and he probably knows. Because of his disloyalty to Daniel Jones, but I would have to ask Evan something. Evan,
yeah,
you're a Jets fan, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever think Sam Darnold was a bust?
Did I ever think Sam? Well, that's a very complicated question
you did,
that you're asking
you?
Me right
you
now.
Did, didn't you did. I was funny audio of it.
Well, no. Hold on. I want to answer your question. Like, I loved the Sam Darnold pick. And I was very mixed about moving on from Sam. There was a part of me that wanted to see him with better coaching and more weapons. But I also understood where they moved on him. I was not as negative towards Sam as I was towards Zach Wilson and towards other young quarterbacks. But what is the point of you asking me that?
My point is this.
Yeah.
The positivity that Sean showed towards another quarterback, coveting another quarterback on Washington, why don't you show some positivity about... You've seen Daniel Jones do some good things, okay? This guy has played three games, and all of a sudden, he's the second coming of Mahomes. Just
well,
give the guy...
He's a rookie quarterback who's playing incredibly well. And I think that's, if you're a Giant fan, discouraging in that he's in your division. And if you're a Commander fan, like, really, really exciting. I agree, it's only been 3 weeks. But the kid looks incredibly impressive in 3 weeks.
Yeah, he has. He's had... I think he has the highest QB rating of all the young quarterbacks. And unlike... a lot of these kids, I don't think Caleb threw one last week. The Broncos, even though they won, I don't think
Bo Nix
threw a touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. I think he's the only one that has a touchdown pass.
I wouldn't even
multiple
know
touchdown passes.
I wouldn't even take solace in comparing them to the other rookies. It's more, do you look at him and think he's a face of the franchise superstar quarterback? And it's only been 3 weeks. And if I was a Commander fan, I'd be through the roof.
Yeah, because he's making big plays, but he's also doing the little things as well.
Yeah, and Sam Darnold looks awesome. Good job, Tiki.
You're welcome.
John is in Garden City. What's up, John?
Hello, guys.
What up?
First of all, I got to thank you, Tiki, because I won a little money on Malik Nabers anytime touchdown because you were touting him so much. So
there you go.
I said, if Tiki likes this guy, then I got to go with him. And I had Daniel Jones 2 touchdowns because I figured if we're getting one from Nabers, at least you're going to get one from somebody else. And it was a good week.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well
I'm
done.
Sitting in the thank you very much. I'm sitting in the parking lot looking up at the flags at Yankee Stadium, ready to go in and watch. And but I had to call about Evan. Evan, this is how I can gauge just how tense you are about the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
How much money do you have on the Braves tonight? I bet it's a lot. Josh, you got a big emotional hedge going. I mean, honestly, I think you are wound tighter than Usher at a Diddy party.
Oh, my God.
Wait a second.
Zinger. Zinger. I am not going to reveal my financial commitments to this game. But I think
there is emotional assurance.
This is the kind of game that emotional insurance was created for. And I am wound up tight, and I am very nervous. And I'm very mixed, because this Met team has earned a lot of our trust based on the way they've played this season and the way they've responded to a lot of bad things, whether it's starting 0-5, whether it's the swoon they had in May and June, early June, whether it's Jorge Lopez throwing his glove, whether it's some of the brutal losses that they had, Edwin Diaz being suspended, Francisco Lindor getting hurt, if you want to go recently, Corbin Carroll's grand slam. Like, they responded to everything. And this team has earned a lot of that trust. But I think the sight of the Atlanta Braves,
mm-hmm.
the memories of facing the Braves this time of year, it bottles up and it reminds me of why it's tough, even if I should be, I shouldn't be saying that.
Right.
But it's tough to be positive when you have all these scars in your body.
I wish
I respect the Met fan who has positivity. Good for you.
I wish I could understand your mindset. I really do. I don't know why it just doesn't. It makes zero sense to me to dwell on negativity. And maybe that's just my personality. But maybe it's my fandom is just, it's corrupted because of how I grew up and who I'm fans of now. But it's just, it's odd for me to, all you think about is negativity.
No, I think in this case, I think about negativity. I mean, maybe we're having a different discussion in a week as the Mets get set for a wild card series against the Padres.
If they get through and in the wild cards and they finish out this season, they complete the story, the comeback, everything else, and they're going to the playoffs, playing the Padres, got to take the long trip, whatever it is. You're going to be, oh, we're beating them? Or are you going to be, oh, Padres have this history over us? And,
Oh, 2022 is going to scare me?
Right, the Tony Gwynn's history.
No. I'm not going to break down Tony Gwynn's history or Wally Joyner or anything like that. I don't know if I'll be positive, Tiki, but I won't be negative because of any kind of history, even that wild card series from 2 years ago. I think the Braves are just very different. You know, and I'm surprised because we have a lot of this in our town that we don't even think about as much. Like, Loogie and Sean had that fight last week about the Astros.
Yes.
If I was a Yankee fan, I'd be scared of the Astros. I'd admit that. I would be. And if I was a Yankee fan, I'd have ultra confidence against the Twins. You always beat them. Sometimes we say you're due to have things change, and they never actually change. You're due to beat the Astros. You haven't done it. The Twins are due to beat you. You haven't done it. The Mets are due to beat the Atlanta Braves. They haven't done it. The Jets are due to win a Super Bowl. They haven't done it. The Knicks are due to win an NBA title. They haven't done it. Like, there's a lot of things we're due to have happen, and they haven't happened. Let's go to Ted in Belrose. How are you, Ted?
Yeah, Long Island.
Ted, what's up?
Ted. I think Ted is, I'll give you one last shot. Ted,
no, I'm here, guys.
Oh, there you go.
Guys.
What's up?
Sorry about that. You know what? I'm going to start with a very convoluted set of circumstances. As a Met fan, I'm taking two fellow Met fans up to Yankee Stadium. But don't ask me why.
What?
But it's just, yes, don't ask. But anyway, Evan.
Yes.
Before you leave tonight, I want you to kiss Positive Tommy's shiny head.
Okay.
And say, we are going to win in Atlanta. We are going to win in Atlanta. By the way, I need to know, Severino was scheduled to start. Is he going tonight or not?
No, Luis Severino is scheduled to go tonight. Today is his day to pitch, and he is on the mound. Tommy, come in here.
So hold on a second here. I have to now be kissed?
Yeah. Well, first of all, when he said shiny head, I think he may be confusing you with Sean, which is a common occurrence.
Yeah. Definitely.
But I'm desperate. I want the Mets to beat the Braves badly. And one thing Tommy knows, you guys may not be aware of, when I'm desperate for my teams to do things, I'll do a lot of crazy stuff. It's actually legend around here, but 3 years ago, I took a milk bath for the New York Islanders to not have their season end at Nassau Coliseum at Game 6.
And did it work?
And it worked, yes.
Oh, excellent.
It absolutely worked.
Sounds
remember
like
that?
You got to kiss Tommy's head to me.
So, Tommy, get in here. I'm going to kiss your head.
Please use tongue. Please use
on
tongue.
On his head?
Yeah.
How do you even do that?
What do you mean? You grab his head and you go.
Listen, man, I want the Mets to win. And if this guy who calls in, who spent, you know, 2 hours on hold, thinks that me kissing Tommy's head is going to get the Mets into the postseason.
As he goes to a Yankee game.
Get your hat off. All right, let me stand up so I can get to the top of your head.
Oh.
There you go.
Islanders. Why you got an Islanders
kind of smells, actually.
It's free.
Yeah. Oh, do you use like what's that stuff you put in your hair?
Shampoo that you don't use, you dirty animal.
I use shampoo.
Who knows what grooming products you're gonna use? By the way, for the radio audience, that was an open lip, top of the head, hair in the mouth of Evan. Unfortunately, no tongue.
Well, I mean, if I used tongue, I was gonna have hair stuck in there. I didn't want to do that.
Didn't seem like you enjoyed it either.
I did not enjoy it, but I did it. How did it feel for you, Tommy?
It was horrible.
Imagine the Mets get swept now. It's because of that kid.
But it made you smile. So it made you happy.
He's no longer negative Evan.
He's not thinking about those douchey Brave announcers. He's not thinking about Chipper Jones. He's not thinking about the ghosts of the past. So, great.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, your head smells, though.
What do you mean my hair smells?
It just smells.
Like what?
Like something that's not good.
There's no way my hair smells. Sean, come smell my hair. It smells like a baby's bottom.
Not really.
It smells fine.
Then maybe it's the hat, then. It's an older hat.
I think now that I think about it, I know it wouldn't have made sense to kiss Sean's head, but I think I rather would have rather have kissed Sean's bald head than Lugie's hair.
Because there's nothing that could be stuck in the hair follicle.
Yeah.
Right. That makes sense.
That's my thinking.
Bald is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It's very beautiful. Well, thank you, Tommy, for doing that. And if the Mets win, I think we both deserve a lot of credit. Actually, our caller deserves a lot of credit. This is his idea.
He's going to a Yankee game tonight trying to get you guys to Met.
He's a Met fan with two other Met fans.
Going to a Yankee game, but he also said, don't ask me why.
I think he knows. I think I know why.
Well, go ahead.
I think it has to do with who is projected to throw out the first pitch tonight at the Yankee game.
Who's projected to throw out the first pitch tonight?
The Yankees set up to clinch a division title at home. What legend do you think they're bringing out tonight?
Neil Diamond.
Josh Hart.
Really?
Now, Josh Hart has been filmed around the field this morning. He keeps throwing a ball up and down. We could only take that out.
Josh Hart is throwing out the first pitch at the Yankee game?
We don't know that definitively, but why would he be tossing a ball around at Yankee Stadium right now?
That is so... I mean, there's nothing against that. Like, but why today?
Because he's an uncrowned champion looking to crown a champion.
Oh. Well done there, Sean. Well done.
Very nice. Tom is in North Arlington. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, Evan? First, I want to talk to everybody in the studio. You got to give Evan a break. You have to understand how many years he was around Joe Beningo.
Yeah, it's all Joe.
I mean,
I agree.
That's definitely number one. I got two questions for you, Evan. Number one,
yes.
What feels worse, the nervousness you're doing now or over the years when the Mets were not even close to anything at this time?
So here's the problem with me answering that question. When the Mets are irrelevant, like last year, we'll use last year as an example, and it's September 24th, Tiki and I would be on the air, and we'd be talking about Aaron Rodgers, and we'd be talking about Daniel Jones, and we'd be talking about Jaden Daniels, and we'd be talking football.
There'd be no baseball talk.
There'd be no baseball. We'd be dead.
We actually just forgot baseball
well,
at the end of last year. We talked about it because I think we had a conversation around, is it important for the Yankees to finish above 500?
Yeah, that's the one conversation we had.
We weren't watching the games. We were just kind of like, all right. Well,
no. So you're half right. On the radio, we weren't talking baseball. It just wasn't to talk about. But I'd go home every night and I'd watch the Mets.
Yeah.
And I would score the game.
Good for you.
And I would do a Rico. No, I know. Good for me. And I admit that. And I wouldn't bring it to the radio because nobody cared. Much like this Nets season that's coming up. I'll go to all these games. Mm-hmm. I'll never bring it up. I'll only bring up like things that have nothing to do with the Nets. But I'd watch the games. And to his point, was it exciting? No, it wasn't exciting, but I had no stress. Like, I would go back, I'd watch the game, nobody would care, even Tommy wasn't watching. I'd score it, I'd talk about it with, you know, the two friends who were watching, and that was it. So it was sort of boring, but also not, it didn't cause pain in my stomach. When I was at Sunday night's game with my oldest son, I had pain in my stomach.
Why? The game was, like,
bro,
pretty much wrapped up in the second quarter.
Excuse me? The second quarter? What game are we talking about?
I could tell. I could tell by Nate's play calling.
No,
he had complete
not
control.
The Jets game. The Mets game.
Oh, I didn't know you took Jet to the Mets game.
No, the Mets game. The Jets game, I was with somebody else. And I agree. It was wrapped up.
Right.
I'm with you on that. But the Mets game was very tough to watch. So, yeah, I'd rather the Mets be in a pennant race. Of course, we'd all rather our team's in a pennant race, but it's also just not fun.
Mm.
Like, I don't enjoy
it
this.
Fun.
No, it's not.
Why is it not fun? Why do you go? What's the point?
That's a great question. Yeah, that's a good one. My psychiatrist should ask me that question.
Why does it give you
a psychiatrist.
Why does it give you pain? Why are you not just entertained?
Because I'm stressed about the result.
Why?
You're not stressed when you watch sports at all?
No.
Sean, do you get stressed
at all? Very stressed, but I also welcome that stress. It's not that it makes me not want to watch.
Yeah.
Like, no, what's going to happen if the outcome is not how you like it?
Pain. Just a lot of pain. A lot of sports pain. Yeah.
Just
feel.
Get over it?
No. That's why would you guys
go like, no chance. Yeah,
come here, Spence. Come here, Jet. Give me a hug. Oh, that was great.
Well, yes, to a degree. So my kids have definitely eased the amount of days it takes for me to get over it. That really hit me when the Nets lost to the Celtics in game one 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
The game they lost brutally. Remember when Jason Tatum hit that little spinner in the lane?
Right.
It was a brutal loss. They ended up getting swept, but that game they should have won. And it was the middle of the afternoon. I was so beyond upset. And then I went upstairs and I saw my sons and I was like, all right, this is what really matters. And it helps.
Right.
1,000% absolutely helps. But tonight at 11 o'clock at night, after I'm done doing a Rico and the kids are sleeping, nothing helps.
Right.
Maybe a lot of porn. Maybe that would help. Why are you giving me a look, Sean? You know you do that.
Because after those 2 minutes are up, then what?
You're right. I'm back to being depressed. More like 60 seconds. The Yankees made a lineup decision tonight that while it may not bother you for tonight's game, if this is a trend, you're going to be upset. We'll address it coming up, plus more of your calls as we get you set for Mets, Braves, and the Yankees potentially clinching the American League East. Well, you may hear that tonight. John's on the call. The Yankees are a win away from clinching the American League Eastern Division. That obviously was a season where there was a happy ending. That was 2009, where obviously they went on and won their last World Series. If you want to go to tonight's Yankee game, I was so curious. Like, is this a hot ticket? And I wasn't sure before I checked because the Yankees are about to go to the playoffs. And playoff tickets are very expensive. And I think people may be waiting, saying, you know what? It's a Tuesday night. Right. I'm going to stay at home.
Of course.
So do you have a guess on if this is a hot ticket or not?
I'm going to say yes, because it's been hot all year for the Yankees.
Yeah, and by the way, hot ticket in terms of, like, they'll have a big crowd tonight, but the get-in price. Right. I just went to SeatGeek out of curiosity.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. The get-in price tonight for Yankees-Orioles is $1.
Get out of here.
I found a ticket for $1.
Wow.
But it kind of makes sense in that I think a lot of tickets are going to be sold.
They don't clinch that often the division, and it could happen tonight.
I think that
it's the Orioles.
No, I know. It was supposed to be a big series. It's not a big series.
Well, maybe the – I don't know. Because here's the thing. Oriole fans are probably – done.
Oh, there will be an Oriole fan in the building tonight.
A week ago, they were saying, how can we get up there? Let's go.
This had a chance.
Take the train. It'll be easy. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And now, after losing, what did they lose? 4 out of the last 5? Whatever it is.
Go back further. They've been a 500 team for 2.5 months.
But I'm 90 of the last 100.
Stop. But you know what I mean. Like, it was tight. It was, what was it, a 3-game or so lead going into the weekend? Now it's 6?
I think that you're right about Oriole fans not making the trip. I also think, as we listen back to all these divisional clinching moments, winning the division is not a big deal in terms of I need to be in the building. I think it's a big deal in terms of home field advantage. Mm-hmm. As I've pointed out before, the Yankees have not lost a series in which they had home field advantage since, I'm not kidding, 2012.
Yeah.
And like, it's been a long time.
And this hasn't evolved into the rivalry that you thought it might be.
Right.
Starting a year ago.
Yeah. One thing about the Yankees also concerning tonight is Jason Dominguez, who hit a home run over the weekend and has played reasonably well, is not in the lineup. Alex Verdugo is. Verdugo, I think, is 0 for his last 8 or 0 for his last 9. Mini batting slump. But it certainly felt over the weekend like Dominguez was taking the job.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the lineup tonight. Does that cause any concerns for you, Sean?
Yeah, it does, because this gives shakes of we're going to clinch the division. This is the lineup we feel comfortable playing mostly in the playoffs.
Oh, I see.
And leave it to the Yankees. All year, this tug of war between what the fans wanted, what the team valued more important, and here you are on what should be a pick-me-up, beautiful weather night, clinching the division, and it's coal in your stocking. Not Garrett either. You don't get Dominguez in the lineup tonight when he's been hitting, when he's been all over the base paths. I know his defense has been suspect. God, I mean, come on. You're going to have 3 meaningless games, hopefully, versus the Pirates. There'll be plenty of Verdugo time. Get Dominguez play tonight and be part of the party.
If you had to make the decision right now on who the everyday left fielder is, I would lean towards Dominguez.
Yeah, of course.
Hit a home run over the weekend.
Right. Younger, has growth potential in front of him. You don't know what he is.
Higher upside.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what Alex Verdugo is.
They are going to start Verdugo in a playoff game. It may not mean that he's starting every game. They are going to keep doing this alternating crap, and Boone will spew some kind of BS about matchups or whatever. Verdugo will not start in a playoff game.
Verdugo will not start in a playoff game.
I think I got that right.
He should have just said Verdugo will start in a playoff game.
Yes. I was too far along the path, but you're right.
He wanted the negative, but then he doubled down with the double negative so that it would be a positive. When he could have just said, Verdugo will start.
Could have.
I made 2 lefts to make a right. I still got there.
You're right. Speaking of negative.
Welcome to New Jersey.
Speaking of negative,
to make
Tiki.
A left.
Yeah, the jug handle, the old jug handle, right? Isn't that what it is, the jug handle? Well, you make the right to make the left of the.
No, you make a right. Yeah, to make the left.
Yeah, it's called a jug handle.
Yes.
A jug handle turn. One of the dumbest. Actually, I like the jug handle. I take that back.
It's safer.
I don't like the gas station stuff. That's what bothers me.
I thought the jug handle was a strip club situation.
It may be, too. Speaking of negativity, Tiki has not been happy with me that I've brought up a lot of the horrible memories that we have in Atlanta against the Braves. Mm-hmm. Not just in Atlanta, but certainly specifically in Atlanta. If you want to go to tonight's Yankee game, I'm so curious.
Why are you playing what I just
said? Like, is
right
this
now?
A hot...
You got to stop that. Thank you very much.
I think think that was me talking.
Right.
All right, anyhow. Carlos Mendoza, the manager of the New York Mets, was asked directly about the Mets' historical struggles in Atlanta. Would you like to hear what he said?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carlos Mendoza.
Well, you obviously haven't been here for it, but this organization's had a lot of bad stuff happen in this city, in this ballpark. Do you care about it at all?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, it's a different group, different personnel, and we got to go out and do it. You know, there's no other way around. So I'm looking forward to it, you know. Not only the Mets in the past year, in a lot of organizations are going through stretches where, like, whether it's winning a division or not winning that big game in other cities. Like, for us, we got to go out there and we got to do it. So, and I'm pretty confident about this group right here. You know, they got grit, their care, their resilience, and we just got to go out and compete. Nobody expected us to be in this position, so here we are, and we just got to go and embrace it and enjoy it.
Exactly right.
You like that?
Embrace it and enjoy it. And he said, "No, I don't care because not my history."
Yeah.
If you look
at this lineup tonight, there is only one, two, three guys that played significant roles or played at all in that series from 2022: Brandon Nimmo, Pete Alonso, and Francisco Alvarez. Starling Marte was on the team. He was hurt. Did not play in that series. That's Remember, great. He missed like the final month of the year and then came back in the postseason. But Luis Angel Acuna was not even in the organization. Mm-hmm. Tyrone Taylor, different organization. Mark Vientos was on the team and actually had a pinch hit appearance, but he did not have a significant role. Jesse Winker, torturing us from afar. And Jose Iglesias, different organization. So there is a lot of differences in terms of this Met team compared to the one from 2022 that got swept by Atlanta. I appreciate Mendy's answer. I do. That doesn't mean
it's because it was the right answer.
It's a great answer.
No, it's the right answer. It's okay. The one that matters. It's the one that tells his team, stop thinking about the negative crap that happened a couple of years ago or decades ago.
The only thing, and I was going to bring this up later this week about the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys, because this question was asked a lot to Brian Daboll. I heard Brian ask this the other day. I've heard Andrew Thomas ask this, which is, do you think about 40-0 as just extra motivation to the Dallas Cowboys? Like, do you think about that? And that's the only place I would ask you and other athletes, like, does it help for Pete Alonso or Brandon Nimmo to be like, damn it, I got to get revenge against these guys? Just like, hey, Andrew Thomas, are you thinking about revenge on the Cowboys who basically beat you all the time?
I mean, maybe, but I think it's less because they're not good enough yet to just say, we need to beat this team right now. We just need to win a football game.
Right.
Right, it's less about how you do it and who you do it against. You just got to win some football games. And let's be real. Right now, the NFC is odd. It's a couple. Right, forget the NFC. The NFL is odd. There's a couple of really good teams, some of them unexpectedly good, like the Pittsburgh Steelers. But maybe that's the Justin Fields thing, going back to maybe he should have been traded to the Giants.
Or maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is just amazing.
Or maybe the Steelers defense is just amazing.
And Mike Tomlin's really good.
And Buffalo, we kind of overhyped what Stephon Diggs' loss was going to do to them because they're fantastic. But there's also teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cincinnati Bengals who haven't won a game yet.
Yeah.
Right? It's just kind of, it's a weird season to start because nothing is as you kind of expected it. Like the struggling young quarterbacks, of course. Right? But a lot of the, I don't know, inconsistencies are surprising in the NFL. I mean, the 49ers are...
Well, they're ravaged by injuries right now. Debo's banged up. Christian McCaffrey had to leave the country to get more testing or whatever the hell he's doing in Germany.
I don't understand that, going to Germany to get an expert on Achilles tendonitis. I'm pretty sure the medicine travels.
Yeah.
You don't need to go to Germany to see, unless he's having a procedure done that's not, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of
not legal
odd.
Here, is that what you want to say?
It was an odd report when I saw it.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense to me. Like, oh, that makes logical sense.
We're America. Don't we have like the best science and everything? That's right. What I thought. That's what I was told. Real quick with the Yankee lineup, we mentioned that Alex Verdugo's in, Dominguez is out. The lineup is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. The rest of the lineup is very normal. Glaber, Soto, Judge, 1-2-3. Austin Wells cleaning up. Giancarlo, Jazz Chisholm, Anthony Rizzo, Anthony Volpe, and Alex Verdugo. Clark Schmidt on the mound. Dean Kremer on the mound for the Orioles as the Yankees look to clinch the American League East for the second time in 3 years. Oh, Goodbye, SNY. Yeah, thank you for signaling that to me.
You're very welcome.